Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey, the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Welcome to Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everyone.
And we have a special treat for you tonight. At least I think it's a special treat. We're going to be discussing Thanksgiving and being thankful. Not necessarily Thanksgiving the holiday, but how to be thankful for what you have and for the people in your lives and how to live a life of thankfulness. So that's going to be our topic tonight. As always, we have our studio audience from TikTok and you now with us. If you would like to join in that studio audience on Saturday nights at 8 p.m. for the recording of these podcasts, you can do so at TikTok.com, Bishop Gregory G, or on YouNow at YouNow.com/Bishop Greg. We'd be happy to have you. And you can post your questions and comments as long as they're respectful. So let's go ahead and get started. Talking about thankfulness. You know, we live in kind of a world where thankfulness is kind of a bygone thing. We don't even bother to thank people that we meet in restaurants who take care of us, or people in the grocery stores who check us out, or sometimes even people who hold the door open for us. I've had that happen many a time in the community. I'll hold the door open for a string of people, and suddenly I get there's one person behind me, and all of a sudden 12 other people file out the door behind them, and not a one of them says thank you. You know, so it is a kind of a lost art, being thankful for what we have and thankful for the people around us, and so that's why we want to kind of touch on it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, thankfulness is one of those things that causes you to have to be present in the moment of life and to observe that which is going on around you. It causes you to have to look and think about the things that are happening.
Right.
And, you know, First Thessalonians 5 comes to mind, in all things give thanks, not for all things, because there's sometimes you have things that aren't wonderful, and but in all things, and you know, that constant state of God, thank you for the breath of life, thank you for waking us up this morning. Sometimes in my prayer times, or sometimes in my worship moments, it's very simplistic in the thankful and the reflecting of the small things that go about in your life, because the things that we take for granted can easily go away. You know, our health, our ability to do certain things like other people may have experienced. And so I think we should constantly be grateful to the Almighty first, that we're here and that we have the chance to do better. We have a chance to move forward. We have a chance to grow. We have, you know, it may be, or may have been one of those rough roads getting here, like the South Carolina roads we have to drive on, which are horrendous, potholes everywhere. You may have had potholes, roads in life, but the fact is you survived to get here. And so remember that. Be grateful for that, because you have the opportunity to move from this moment to something else, learning, applying what you've learned in those things that were difficult. And but I think Thanksgiving obviously is more than just what we do the last Thursday of every November.
Right.
It's a purposeful, it's an attitude, and it, again, I think it causes you to have to be aware of everything going on around you, to be present in the moment, to stop, take in what you do have in life, knowing that things may change, things may grow, but you've made it to this point, so you can also make it to the next day, next moment, next level of growth.
Very true. Blackbird says, gratefulness should be a minute-by-minute practice. Agreed. Yeah, certainly. And unfortunately, so many people don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even something that's on their mind.
Right.
You know, a lot of people wonder why when you go into stores and things, or restaurants, some of the staff are so surly. Well, if I had to deal with some of the people they deal with every day, where nothing is ever good enough, nothing is ever right.
Right.
And, you know, they can't seem to please them no matter what they do. I'd probably be a bit surly, too.
Yeah.
And that's why I take a conscious effort to try to thank people that are there helping us, that are there taking care of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not easy being in the, you know, customer service gig.
No.
You know, it's not easy being in positions where you have to deal with the public each and every day, and sometimes on the worst days of their lives, you know, doctors, nurses, and whatnot. And so it requires a bit of effort for them to sometimes do what they do in the face of a lack of gratitude.
Right.
You know.
Particularly when you have people that, you know, go above and beyond the call of duty or go above and beyond what is required. Because, you know, a lot of people get the mindset of, they're paid to do that, or they're paid to do this, or yeah, but I mean, you're not paid to have a wonderful and grateful attitude,
right?
You know, and you should be thankful when people aren't just stoic, but they go above and beyond to be a person, you know. And I think we should, especially right now, count that as a joy when you come across somebody that puts effort into being a human in their job and in their work. What's the alternative? We all become mindless drones and, you know. So I'm thankful when I come across somebody that connects their humanity and their being a human being to their job. Because, let's face it, you know, for some of us, we're there 8 hours, 12 hours. If you're in the medical field, maybe longer than that, 16 hours. And it's a large part of our lives. Why not add, you know, gratefulness and humanity to it? Be joyful with the best of their ability. And then recognize when people are going above and beyond in the workplace to acknowledge it. I think that's a huge issue that we have nowadays. Is you have people that are, well, they're, you know, they're hired to do this. They just should, you know,
yes,
whatever. Yeah, but they're also a person. These people also have feelings.
Right.
These people also have things going on in their lives. Why can't we all just be in touch with kindness, compassion, and at the same time expectation that we do our job,
right,
but connecting all those things? You know, we're always quick to point out the, oh, well, you didn't do. Why don't we be just as quick to point out, oh, you went above and beyond. We thank you for that. Appreciate
right.
that. that grateful attitude in things that they do. I remember going, let's see, what day was it? Wednesday of this week. My boyfriend and I went to dinner with a friend of ours. It was a belated birthday dinner for my boyfriend, and we went into this restaurant that I've been into several times. And every time I go into it, I get this one waitress who wish, you can just tell, she would love to be anywhere but there. She would love to be anywhere but where she's at that moment. And her demeanor says that, her face says that, her tone says that, everything says that. And every time I sit, I have this inward, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it takes everything in me to thank you, go above and beyond, to say thank you to this person. You know, and I'm sitting there, and I don't know what she's going through, right. You know. And also, a little extra kindness doesn't hurt me. And I'm sitting at a table for food. Something that, yeah, I may be hungry, but let's just face it. Look at me. I'm not about to starve. Putting things in perspective.
Right.
If the food's on the wrong side of the plate, turn the plate. If the food is whatever, short of the chicken being undercooked or something being cold, I'm not going to pitch a fit about something. It may not be perfect, but it's food.
Yes.
It's not going to... My life is not going to be ended because it's not perfect. And so why not choose, be purposeful, that when you leave the house, you know, in all things today, I'm going to be grateful.
Right. That's a good point. Blackbird says, my thought is, do what's right is to act in a holy way, to act like people, not so much. Yes, I think I understand what you mean. Yes, when you act, when you do what's right to people, that's a holy act. And when you act like some of the people around, you're not acting holy in a holy way. And I think that's very true, you know. And to that point that you were making, Reverend Mark, you know, we don't know what people are going through every day.
No.
We have no clue. And so while they may be just absolutely having the worst day of their lives, our little bit of kindness and thankfulness, our gratitude for their efforts, for them being there, could mean a lot to them. Could be the difference between life and death in some cases. You know, I'm reminded routinely of Lonzo.
Right.
You know, who says, you know, give someone a hug today. It might be the bridge that gets them from now into tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know.
You never know.
And that's very true. You know, and so when we show that kind of gratitude and thankfulness to people, we may actually be saving someone's life.
Correct.
You know, you don't know. That person might be teetering on the very edge of doing something to harm themselves.
Well, you're telling that person you've just been noticed,
right,
when you go and thank that person.
Right.
I have noticed you, and I'm grateful for your effort, for the commitment. You're telling somebody you're noticed. Some
right.
people think that, you know, the it's a wonderful life mindset. I wish I'd have never been born. And that goes through a lot of people's minds because
right.
we have developed this society that is so entitled, and it's all about just themselves and hoarding all the stuff that they can, and me, make sure you service me. And we're leaving out people that just the smallest little bit, the hug,
right,
that bridges them to the next thing that they need to do in life. It's so easy to do.
Right. I'm reminded of back during the beginning of COVID. We had a lot of people that stepped up to really show thankfulness, especially to medical workers.
Right.
To healthcare workers, those people that were, you know, working hard to save lives. And that meant a lot to a lot of people because, you know, we would go home very defeated at the end of each shift. You know, when you've just had to witness 10 people die in the ward overnight, and, you know, there was nothing you could do to save them. Absolutely nothing. You're just dejected. You're just at the end of your rope. There's just no way to find a bright spot at that moment. And we'd step out of the hospital and there'd be signs lining the sidewalk on our way to our vehicles, thanking us, telling us how much we meant. You know, businesses and individuals in the community would pay to have food brought in for the healthcare workers, or little gifts for the healthcare workers, and it was so wonderful because it helped sustain us through that difficult period. But then, of course, as time wore on, that stopped. And then it became the people who would stand out and protest. We were part of the big lie. We were part of, you know, the government's cover-up about what COVID was really about and all this stuff. And how quickly it changed, too. It was almost overnight. It went from this attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness to this attitude of just anger and hatred and of course, conspiracy theories galore. And that's how easy it is to just turn on dime in today's society. And if we can easily do that, we can easily turn on gratefulness and thankfulness. You know? And there are so many people who need that in our world today.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think that Diamond mentioned, you know, that Thanksgiving shouldn't be just something we do in November. And that's right. You know, it's something that should be an everyday process. You know. And, I mean, I wake up every morning thankful that I'm alive again. You know, I know how short life is, and I know how easy it is for life to end. And so when I wake up every morning, I'm thankful I have another day to be a pain in the butt to someone. No.
Well, we're not designed to live imbalanced in our lives.
Right.
Okay? And when we are solely focused on, you know, the things that are broken in the world, whether we're constantly watching the news or reading articles of, you know, how everything goes wrong, all the wars and stuff, and I don't subscribe to us becoming an ostrich and sticking our head in the sand. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. However, that is not the only thing that's going on in the world. And, you know, you have people, I shared this today in our retreat, you know, you have people that'll get up and say, well, nobody loves anymore in the world. Nobody this, you know, but no one cares in the world. And I was like, well, how many here love their significant other?
Right.
How many here love maybe a child or a spouse, you know, a partner, or maybe their best friend? Well, that, you know, and the people would raise their hand and say, oh, yeah. That alone negates your statement. And so, as people that are not designed to look at or be imbalanced and always look at all the problems in our life, God calls us to look at the blessings that surround us and to be thankful.
Right.
The psalmists in Psalms often would talk about the, you know, the heavens declaring the glory, you know, the earth gives forth the fervent of God's power, looking at the surrounding in nature and seeing the beauty, and it reminding us of God. So we're supposed to embrace both, hey, we need to work on some things in our life here, but also that not everything is broke, and we're thankful for that beauty and that grace that is in our lives,
right.
And that does happen. We're not called to be, or we're not designed to be people that live imbalanced and, you know, we're not supposed to ignore those things and those areas that we need to grow in, nor are we supposed to ignore the areas that are growing and the
right.
beauty and
right.
the grace. And, you know, when you see a flower bloom, whether it's a mum in the fall or roses in the spring, it's gorgeous. It's wonderful. Whether you see the color in the trees in the fall time, and oh, how gorgeous that is, knowing that they're preparing to withdraw for a season, but knowing, you know, in a few short months, it all comes back. It's green, it's lush. And it reminds us, we should remind ourselves that even though that, yeah, there's things over here in the world that need to be fixed, we need to fix ourselves, countries and politicians and world leaders need to fix themselves, it's not all broke.
Right.
It's not all horrendous. You know, the people that stepped out, tapped into that thankfulness towards our healthcare workers during the season, I can't believe that all of them switched over and turned into the conspiracy theorists.
No.
And so it tells you that there was good, there is good inside of folks,
right.
And they let it out, and we were able to see that for a season and be thankful for those things and those seasons.
Right.
And it, you know, God wants us balanced, and God wants us functioning in that balance, and, you know, acknowledging our areas of growth, but also acknowledging the good that's around us, and being thankful and grateful when we see it in other people, when we see that extra mile in other people, and so forth. And you have to be purposeful with that.
Right.
Some days you have to wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to look for good in all situations today.
Right.
Instead of allowing life to, I call it, throw you into the rapid river of life and toss you and hit you upside the head in the boulders that are in that river.
Right.
No, you be purposeful. You steer your ship, and take a day and
right.
just say, "All the only thing I'm going to do is look for things to be grateful for."
Right. I watched a video today. I'd always wondered why Mandy Patinkin had left Criminal Minds. For those that know the show, he played Agent Gideon in the first two seasons of Criminal Minds. Great actor, Broadway actor. He's done a bunch of stuff over the years, and so I was watching this video today about why Mandy Patinkin left Criminal Minds. And it turns out that he left because the show's focus on violence and all these mass murders and death and everything else was getting to the point where it was actually robbing him of who he was. He could feel himself slipping away and not being as thankful, kind of being, you know, pulling away from people, being kind of sullen and not as happy. And he says, "I just can't do this. I can't be in this show because it's robbing me of who I am."
Good.
And so he walked away. And, you know, they left, for those that, you know, they left the slot open for a while that he might return, but then he made it very clear he was never coming back. They killed him off, which was kind of sad. But the point was that he made that conscious effort that this is not helping me be the kind of person I want to be. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pull away from it. And so we have to have that conscious effort to say, we want to be people that are thankful and grateful in order to make it happen. Because it's not just going to happen just sitting there. You know, just like sitting in your garage and saying you're a car isn't going to make you a car. Right. Sitting on the pew on Sunday morning and saying you're a Christian is not going to make you a Christian.
Right.
You know, you have to be intentional. Mm-hmm. You have to want to be thankful and mm-hmm. grateful to all people mm-hmm. around you. And that's hard because some people are just not easy to be thankful to.
Right.
You know, there are some people that are just real buttholes. You know, but you have to be thankful even for them too, because in a way they're teaching you something. They're teaching you how you don't want to be, how not to be that way. They're teaching you how to be thankful even in difficult situations. You know, there's a lesson to be learned in everything.
Right.
And even those people that seem most distant from who we want to be can teach us something.
That's right. Well, and what's the saying, you know, look for the good in every day, even if some days you have to look a little harder.
Right.
And there are days like that. Again, we're not saying be ostrich and stick your head in the sand. What we are saying is, you know, your focus, to quote Master Qui-Gon Jinn from Star Wars Episode 1, your focus determines your reality.
Right.
And our focus is constantly in the negative. That's all we see, you
yes.
know. And there's days that I find myself having to solve problem after problem after problem after problem in my daytime job, and then also meeting with people that are a part of my church and my congregation that are having issues and problems, and all, you know, a day or two or three or four from start to finish in that day, all I'm hearing is broken things, broken this, broken that, and I'm happy to be a part of the solution. I'm happy to give words of encouragement and grace. But when you're constantly hearing that, you do have to back up and allow yourself to decompress, process, and then process forward that process. That process act also is letting in, you know, something that brings joy, something that is mindless, or something that's restful, or, you know, deviating from the broken stuff that surrounds you. And then focusing on, you know, making sure you're letting light in, you're letting grace in, you're letting things in so that it resets you. And so we have to be purposeful when we find ourselves in those moments. Sometimes life happens so fast, it's just all upon you
right.
before you know it. And you have to be conscious to look and say, hey, am I on course today? Am I going in the direction I need to go? You know, I know all this stuff's happening. I got to tend to all this stuff in my life, fix things. But am I on course? Am I moving in the direction I need to? And, you know, sometimes that's not an easy thing to do. But it's important for, like you said, to be purposeful in my desire or in my choosing for the day. I will be grateful for these things, for being in the... I'm grateful I'm there to help solve problems. I'm also grateful that I have a break and can rest and recuperate so that I can help somebody down the road.
Right. Blackbird makes a kind of a good point, I think. He says that I have to read the whole thing, Blackbird. It seems odd to me that this is a subject of conversation It grates my skin. My heart goes out to our ancestors lost, and the thankfulness came at the cost of so many lives. Blackbird is a Native American, and so, you know, at this time of year, we definitely think about those lives that were lost.
Yes.
And the reality is the thankfulness for me comes in the lesson that this happened. It was a terrible atrocity, and hopefully we never repeat that atrocity, even though in some ways it continues to this day. We work to try to stop it and try to turn the situation around, to make amends. And so I'm thankful for the lessons that it taught us, and I am grieved for all the lives lost in order to learn that lesson. But I'm thankful for the lesson that it has taught us. And I'm encouraged to some degree that so many young people today are beginning to understand that message.
Right.
To understand that these atrocities were done in our name in the past, and some continue to be done in our name today, and that we should stand up and fight against those atrocities. Try to stamp out that injustice wherever it resides. And for me, that's encouraging to some degree. Are we there yet? No. We've got a long ways to go. But I think that we can't forget where we've come from, nor can we lose sight of where we want to go and where we want to be, if that makes any sense. I hope it does.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, when we look back at the struggles of others, the injustices of others, you know, you're not thankful that the atrocities were inflicted on those people. But it's, as you said, we step back and we go, I'm thankful that we can learn from this about not how to be horrible human beings.
Right.
You know, how that we can learn to peacefully coexist. If there's a lesson that we can embrace and take upon ourselves, is the fact that we should look at all races, all peoples that surround us, and say they have just as much right to coexist as we do,
right.
Or to exist, that is, excuse me, as we do, and that we should coexist together, you know. And you know, I remember learning in or being taught certain things in school, and you know, you look at how I was taught in the first, you know, those first Thanksgivings and those times together, and how we worked with each other and our Native American friends. That's how I was taught. But then you step back and you go, well, why did we... I remember somebody asking this when I was in, gosh, third grade or something. You know, well, why did we... You know, why do Native Americans live in small little pockets of... I don't understand that. And there was never a good answer from the teachers. And then you get older and you realize, holy crap, we were... You know, the ancestors, you know, my ancestors weren't here yet for my family. We came over much later. But the ancestors and people that treated those who lived here before us, and you step back and you start reading history and you're going, dear God.
Right.
How do people condone that behavior and think that it's okay? It was the same thing. When you started, you know, when I started understanding slavery and how people were treating other people, not just in America, yes, but across the world, slavery still today, right. In different parts of the country, parts of the world. God, we hope that it's not in this country. And you're going, how do you act towards other people in this way? And, you know, it's simply the understanding, or it's to me, as a person of faith, you simply have to put your Christianity and who Jesus is on the back burner in order to act like that. Because there's no way Jesus would act and condone that behavior. Because Christ was opening the table, as it were, to all people.
That's right.
Jesus taught us that, you know, even the most discarded in our society, he would approach and offer them words of life, love, and grace. And so, I mean, if there was any group of people, the Samaritans in the scripture were just as diametrically opposed and hated by, you know, Jesus' group of his day, then, and Jesus was showing, hey, I'm going to go talk to the Samaritans. I mean, how many times did Jesus use parables with Samaritans in them? There was a reason he did that.
Right.
I loved, you know, every time I read a parable of Christ and he talks about a Samaritan, I'm like, oh, you know, that got up under the skin of folks. And that's the only way that you can look at history and go, how do we treat, I mean, you, especially people that were supposed to be Christian, quote unquote.
Right.
I use that term very loosely because I hate calling people Christians that act the way our forebearers did, because, you know, to be a Christian is Christ-like, and if you're going to label yourself as that, you have to be
Christ-like. Yeah. Well, and that, too, is part of what I'm thankful for, is the lessons of even some of the modern-day mega preachers, you know, is a message that how not to act, how not to behave in society, how not to treat each other,
right?
You know, and they approve of certain atrocities. It makes my skin crawl, and so I'm thankful for the example of what we should not be, but by the same token, they do still cause a lot of destruction and a lot of pain and sorrow. And we're going to talk about that in an upcoming podcast when we discuss religious trauma. And we're going to talk about how that comes about and how we deal with it. So that's going to be in 2 weeks. So I hope you'll stick around for that discussion. No, I understand, Blackbird. But as far as thankfulness goes, we can be thankful not just for the things that go on every day, not just for the people that help us, but we can be thankful for the lessons we learn. You know, I'm thankful for people like Blackbird who routinely come in and teach me something new about our shared history, you
right.
know, and has helped me tremendously to understand many of the nuances of that get lost
right.
in all of the discussions and all of the books and videos and everything else that are out there. And I believe it helps make me a better person learning from Blackbird that shared history. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the opportunity to have the hard discussions that about our past, about the way things have been, not just in our country, but in the world. And because I believe that only through that education and learning can we hope to prevent it from happening again. And we certainly want to do everything in our power to make sure it never happens again.
That, you know, and Blackbird brings up a great point. You know, I ministered a message years ago in my first pastorate entitled, "It's Not November and I'm Still Thankful." Because, I preached that thing in, I don't know, July or so. And, you know, thankful hearts and a thankful and grateful spirit is something that a true follower of Christ, a true person who is wanting to honor the divine and God, that's a lifestyle. That, right. You know, that's one reason that I hate only landing on thankful messages and Thanksgiving. And I purposely will talk about it other parts of the, because it's supposed to be a lifestyle. And it's supposed to be something that we are constantly doing all of our days. You know, as the letter to Thessalonica, in all things, give thanks. And so that kind of negates the, well, I'll choose a few days a year to be thankful. And you know, we're instructed in all those things. And so how much our world needs those attitudes of gratitude, that grateful spirit on a regular basis, how much our world needs things like that. And that's part of our love walk. That's part of who we're supposed to be and who we're, and allowing the Spirit of God to teach us how to live that balanced life, see, you know, like you were talking about, being thankful and being able to see the lessons that we have to learn, sometimes through hard, traumatic moments, through atrocities, through, you know, not the shining moments in the church. You know, we can pull from those experiences and be thankful that those lessons are there for us to learn.
Right.
That it's not lost on history or lost what that message is coming out of that mess. And, you know, finding the good in all things. You know, that's just who we're supposed to be. That's who... If we listen and are led by the Spirit of God, we'll be led to that way of living.
And we're mostly speaking tonight, very heavily Christian tonight, because it's something that we see a lot in our faith practice.
Right.
Christianity is
correct.
This lack of thankfulness. You know, other faith traditions tend to do a much better job of maintaining that aspect of thankfulness in their daily lives. In fact, in Islam, it's one of the pillars of Islam is to be constantly thankful and grateful. You know, Buddhists are taught to every day be thankful for everything that they are given. It's in Christianity that we don't talk about it very much. We don't emphasize it like the other faith traditions do. And because of that, we tend to lose that focus and that message. And so we have to be reminded, and it should be a central tenet of Christianity to be thankful every day. If there were, like in Islam, the pillars of Christianity, it should be one of those pillars of Christianity that everybody should adhere to.
This will sound like I'm contradicting what you're saying. It's absolutely not, because I know the spirit of what you're saying.
Yes.
The thing is, it is the pillar mm-hmm. in Christianity, because, I mean, that's the life that Jesus led before us.
Right.
The practice of Christianity should be that thankful spirit, like you're saying.
Right.
And it's not, like you're saying.
Yeah.
It's there, we just don't tap into it. It's like the love walk.
Right.
You know, Paul had to break it down for us in his writings to the Corinthians and spell out, this is what love is.
Right.
I could almost see his sarcastic self writing love's patient. You aren't getting this, so let me write it all out.
Right.
Love's patient, kindness, doesn't hold grudges, so on and so forth. A thankful spirit is at the heart of the Holy Spirit teaching us.
Right.
And however, the practice particularly, I would say, I'll pick on the American church, particularly in the American church, is not that thankful spirit. It's not in, like you said, our Christianity.
Right.
And but if you're looking at true who Jesus was, the message of God, it is to have that grateful spirit.
Right.
And if we're connected to the, or if we're, if we have the desire to be more like that is Jesus, that is one aspect that we can't overlook, that
right.
we're supposed to be grateful.
Right. Absolutely. And Jesus shows us that a lot in the Gospels, you know, the gratitude that he shows to others, you know, and the constant love he shows to others. We just haven't gotten there in the American church.
Yeah.
Ecclesia brings up that Locke is out there, Greg Locke is out there breaking dollhouses with a Bible taped to a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's a topic for another day.
Yeah, we have homelessness running rampant. We have people harming others because of who they love. We have, you know, countries bombing over the countries, and our focus is, taking a bat to a dollhouse. I mean, that needs to be our message. I say that sarcastically. I say that facetiously.
Yes.
I mean, the things that we choose to focus on, let me back up. The things that certain ministers choose to focus on, it shows me their complete blindness,
right,
to the world, to the message of Jesus, to the things that matter in life, and to how is this reaching your homeless community? How is this welcoming the stranger? How is this opening up to the orphan? How is this ministering to the widow? We're spending money on a dollhouse that you're going to pulverize from a pulpit to work up everybody's emotions. Use that same energy to channel the message of, why don't we all leave the church for the day and go out there and feed some folks?
Right.
Why don't we all take some blankets down to some folks that are freezing to death under bridges?
Right.
You know, instead of, you know, exhausting your energy beating up that little dollhouse, why don't you haul your butt down and start loving on some folks that haven't bathed in weeks? And offer some prayers to some folks in the same spirit of Jesus approaching the whore at the well,
right,
and talking to her and saying, I love you. God loves you. I'm here to tell you that.
Right.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. And we're going to get into Ecclesia, that entire question that you posed, in our religious trauma podcast in 2 weeks.
That stupid behavior is not lost on us.
No, it is not. And so we're actually going to do a podcast in 2 weeks on religious trauma. And Greg Locke will be one of those people that I'm sure will be featured in that, as he has single-handedly wreaked a great amount of religious trauma on people. So I'm sure he will be one of them we will discuss. But so stay tuned for that in 2 weeks. So we're going to wrap up on thankfulness tonight. We got a little off kilter here.
Righteous indignation hit you over stuff like that.
I know. It's one of those situations where you just can't ignore it. You have to say something, you know. And so that's okay. But, you know, I would... As we move into our final thoughts, I would say, I'll go first today. I would say it is important that we live a spirit of gratitude, live
yes.
in a spirit of thankfulness every single day.
Yes.
Especially for those Christians who seem to have lost that in their Christian walk. It is time to bring that back. Be grateful for everyone around you. Be grateful for even the difficulties in your lives. Be thankful to learn about situations that are uncomfortable to you even. The way the church has behaved in the past and the present, the way our society has treated others in the past and present. So that, be thankful for those lessons that you can learn to be a better person and learn to help others around you. And so, and yes, put a finger in Greg Locke's eye by going out and helping the homeless and helping those who are most in need as well, especially this time of year when it's getting colder and there are less supplies and less resources because people are thinking about, you know, Thanksgiving and family and Christmas and family, and they're not giving as much to ministries and programs to help the homeless.
Right.
Remember to help the homeless, especially now, during this time of year. Your thoughts, Mark?
My thought is, you know, it's intentional every day to pull together your heart and say, you know, I'm going to look for that good and that grace and that mercy in everything. And when I see it today, I'm going to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for showing me that. Thank you, God, for letting me witness it, for experiencing it. It'll open a whole new world. And, you know, just to piggyback on the whole crazy preacher mindset, you know, if we just preach Jesus, you're not going to have to bust up any dollhouses
right.
and take bats to them.
Right.
If you just preach Christ and the life of Jesus, the sensationalism will be unnecessary.
Right.
You will line up and people will start embracing those things that matter in life. And that's always been my philosophy. If I just preach the life of Christ and the example, the wonderful example that we have of who he was, sent by God, you don't have to get up and do stupid stuff like that.
Right. Amen.
You will line up and have a spirit of gratitude, and you'll really focus on those things that truly make a difference in the world.
Yes. Thank you, Reverend Mark, for being here, my friend.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for hosting us and letting us be here.
And thank you to all of our people on TikTok and you now for being there, and our producer, Bishop Ben, for all of his hard work.
Yes.
As he keeps us on schedule and keeps us
schedule
going right. Next Saturday's podcast topic is Soul Safe. Discussing how to have difficult conversations around the holidays with family members and friends who might not quite understand who you are or who you love, and various and sundry other issues they may have with you as a person. How to have those difficult discussions and conversations around the holidays. I think it's important that we have that discussion, especially for our LGBTQIA friends and family who seem to be beat up quite a bit around this time of the year by family members. So Soul Safe is next week. And then the week following is Religious Trauma, and how to deal with religious trauma, what it is, and that kind of thing. So that's going to be in 2 weeks. So I hope you'll join us again next Saturday when we once again attempt to expand your faith. Until then, keep shining bright. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/expandingyourfaith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.